Hello everyone and welcome to the third episode of Ruby India Podcasts. Ruby India brings together curated content from and for the Indian Ruby community and friends. We do a regular newsletter highlighting content from people in the community, and one of the aims is to highlight people and their work, which has led us to start with the podcast. Ruby India podcast series meets people, speaks about their work, programming tools, work culture, technology stack and experiences. I'm Prathamesh, your host today. And for our third episode, we are interviewing Gautam Rege from Joss Software. Hi Gautam, welcome to Ruby India Podcasts.
Hi Prathamesh, pleasure to be on this and feeling privileged about it.
Okay, so let's start. Gautam, can you introduce yourself, like your work and how you started with Ruby?
Sure. So I am a graduate from PICT, Pune Institute of Computer Technology. I graduated in the year of 2000.
Okay.
And I started as a C programmer on Solaris.
Oh, wow.
So I love programming. That's one thing I knew.
Okay.
Had it not been for programming, I would have probably joined the Indian Army.
Mm-hmm.
But once I found that programming was my one true love, I realized this is what I wanted to do.
Okay.
It had always been my dream after that to do something on my own rather than work at companies.
Hmm.
The good part was that in my early age of my career, I got an experience of working in larger service-based companies, larger product-based multinational, and also startups.
Okay.
So in 2007, when the pressure was too much from me on myself,
mm-hmm.
I decided it's time to call it quits, and I started this company along with my partner Setupathi. Setupathi Ashokan, or as we know him as Setu.
Right.
We both quit our jobs on a whim one day,
mm-hmm.
and decided to start Josh. We started Josh because both of us, I coming from a C background and Setu coming from a Java background, we wanted to do something that we were both very passionate about.
Okay.
At that time, we heard of this new framework called Rails and tried to look at what it is.
Okay.
And then while looking at Rails, we fell in love with Ruby.
Mm.
And decided, let's start working in Ruby and Ruby on Rails. So we decided to start a company which focuses only on Ruby.
Okay.
And that's what we've been doing for the past 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll probably continue doing for hopefully the next 7 years.
Wow. Cool. So like you started with Rails and then gradually got into Ruby, or it was Ruby first and then Rails? Because most of the times, people start with Rails and then they get used to Ruby. What was your case?
Yes. Setu and me both fall into the unfortunate soul bracket of having found Rails or heard about Rails before we fell in love with Ruby.
Okay.
But it was a quick transition.
Mm-hmm.
We realized that there is no point working in Rails if you don't know Ruby well.
Right.
So we focused a lot on Ruby and learning what Ruby is all about.
Okay.
And we realized that once we learn a lot of Ruby, Rails programming is not just easier, it also made us better Rails programmers.
Right. Cool. So, what tools do you use? Like, in your office, what is the main tools that you use to collaborate with others? And for coding, what tools do you use?
So, even before the tools, it's important to know that Josh is a software services company, which
okay.
works in Ruby on Rails and
mm-hmm.
only Ruby on Rails, so no other technologies. All the tools we use are all Rails-based tools.
Right.
So when we are doing project management, we use either Pivotal Tracker or Trello.
Okay.
When we are doing source code management, we use GitHub.
Hmm.
Sometimes some of our customers either get onto Bitbucket or Unfuddled, but we invariably pull them back to GitHub.
Okay.
We use CircleCI for our continuous integration.
Hmm.
We use CodeClimate for our code quality metrics.
Right.
And whenever we can, we don't have a choice of editors fixed in our office.
Okay.
But invariably, people end up using either Vim or Sublime.
Okay.
What is a guaranteed is a no-no in our office is using gedit.
Right.
Or any sort of text editor which does not have syntax highlighting.
Okay.
Which does not have options which can be set.
Mm-hmm.
Though RubyMine is good. We don't usually promote RubyMine or any heavy IDEs because they're just too heavy.
Right.
I prefer okay. lightweight editors.
Correct.
And everyone in our company must have a knowledge of VI. Okay. Even if you're using Sublime for programming, because in case the rare occasion where you actually log in, where you have to log in onto any production server, you're not going to get Sublime, you're not going to get Emacs, you're not going to get any sort of editor other than VI.
Right.
So knowing VI always helps.
Cool. So you also mentioned CodeClimate and CircleCI. What is your take on it? Like, do you promote like code quality from the start of the project, or you gradually go along, depend on CodeClimate reports, and then go forward? So how do you use
CircleCI and CodeClimate are part of our process.
Okay.
So any customer we sign on. So we are enterprise customers for CodeClimate and CircleCI.
Okay.
So any customer we sign off has to have their own organization on GitHub.
Okay.
We support that organization on CircleCI and CodeClimate. So we pay for that code. We pay for it because code quality and continuous integration is not something our customers should pay for. It is something that is part and parcel of what our delivery towards testing and quality is.
Right.
So we mandate this.
Okay.
And this mandate begins from day one.
Okay.
So the first commit of our code, the initial commit as we call it for setting up a Rails app also goes through CircleCI and CodeClimate.
Okay.
Cool. So everything comes in a fixed process that we use.
Okay.
We have webhooks in GitHub, which will either hook back into CircleCI and CodeClimate, and if optionally required, into Pivotal Tracker or Trello as required.
Okay. Nice. So you have been also traveling around the world for attending many conferences, speaking at various places. What is your experience there? Like, how do you compare the Indian Ruby community versus the global Ruby community? And what, like, what we have to do or where we are better? What is your take?
So one of the biggest differences I've seen in Indian conferences and foreign conferences is numbers. The smallest of conferences, take for example, even the first one that we just recently happened on July 19th, Deccan Ruby Conference, it attracted 175 people. And I know the number for sure because I was one of the organizers along with Prathamesh and Vipul and Anil and Nishant. 175 people for a single day conference in Pune, the first time being held, is a freaking huge number.
Right.
For larger conferences all over the world, numbers are not so much, even for established conferences.
Okay.
Right. And if you have to gather a group of 200 developers abroad, that's quite a big number to manage.
Right.
On the quality scale, I have found that the age difference between people attending conferences in India and age of people attending conferences abroad is again different.
Okay.
You have a lot of people who are, you know, above 25 years old. You have a lot of people who are professionals, been working in industry for at least 7 to 8 years, attending Ruby conferences and programming still. In India, we find a lot of people who are within, you know, 1 to 4 years of experience attending conferences.
Yes.
We find a lot of students.
Yes.
So while being younger is good, it also mandates that people who are older should not actually give up programming, which gives me a slight fear, state of fear, that people in India must continue programming even after 5 or 6 years of experience.
Right.
Which by your smile, Prathamesh, I know that is a little far-fetched because we are a country which is hugely populous.
Yes.
Abroad, a lot of people call themselves programmers or established programmers after 8 or 9 years of experience in programming. So this is something that we need to work towards. And it's a community change which has to go at the lowest level.
Right. So, like we all know, Josh is supporting everything, right? Josh is supporting all the conferences. Josh is supporting meetups held in Pune.
It is our company mandate that any paid event which has Ruby in it, we will support it in as being one of the sponsors. So it helps, gives benefit to the organizers of any conferences in India, that if you're hosting any conference anywhere in India, we will be some sponsor. So at least there is some sort of benefit to you guys. Also, it's a mandate for us that if there is anyone who gets selected for any talk anywhere in the world as an individual and requires some financial support, we will provide it to whatever we can.
But what is your motivation behind this? Like, I know that you're supporting so many events, but what is your, like...
It's twofold.
Yeah.
One, we've realized that if we build the Ruby ecosystem here, it is going to be good for business.
Right.
Which brings me to the second point. Being good for business means Josh will automatically benefit from business coming from India as well as abroad. So if we build a bigger, better ecosystem, we can drive a lot of the changes that are happening, build a group of motivated people who are doing on working in Ruby, not for money, but for the passion.
Right.
And we've been doing Ruby for the last 7 years. So it'll automatically become a de facto standard. I would love to have our name being associated with a lot of events in India. And if we can, wherever we can, abroad too. This will help us build the community. And since it's good for business, it's good for our country too.
Right.
As a mandate, we have only one office and it's always going to be in India. We do not intend to open any sales office, branch office in anywhere abroad to give any sort of international name to our company, because it is Josh, the Hindi word for enthusiasm and passion. Yes.
So let's come to Josh, like how it was started. And I know that you told about it was started in 2007. So like which projects you take, which domains you work on?
Sorry, we are completely independent of any sort of domain.
Okay.
But we are very specific on technology.
Hmm.
So we work in any domain of interest, which is innovative or which is disruptive to the market. We have worked in the banking sector. We worked in the insurance sector. We have worked in wealth management and finance. We have worked in the media, internet space, entertainment space. We have worked in the education space. We worked in election compliance space. We worked in tourism, travel space.
Wow.
For us, we don't really care which domain or industry it is, because it's a new thing for us to learn. As long as the product is innovative, as long as it has some nature of learning or is disruptive, we are always interested. The one thing which is common to each of this is Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it's on Ruby or Ruby related technologies like Rails, we are in.
Cool. But I also see that Josh is heavily investing into Golang these days.
Yes.
And like your first love and true love is Ruby, but I'm seeing that you're supporting the first GopherCon also, and
yes,
there are some Go meetups held in your Pune office also. So why Go when you have when you are loving Ruby so much and supporting Ruby events so much? Why Go?
Right. So process of evolution. Right. What when we took a risk in 2007 with I'm saying it very blatantly, we took a risk of just betting on Ruby at that time and not doing anything else. Because we believed in it.
Right.
I do firmly believe that Go belongs to this decade.
Okay.
The fundamentals, principles of why Go came into the picture is something which we really firmly believe in. Where hardware has evolved drastically over the last 40 years, the software still relies and believes in the old stack of C. Go comes with a different paradigm. While Ruby made us rethink the way we are doing object-oriented programming, Go makes us rethink programming itself.
Okay.
Which makes it an entirely interesting different ballgame. It is our time that we are betting on Go. This time, luckily, we at least have something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we will need to fall back on.
Okay.
I think Go is the way to go. To this effect, actually, I'm giving a talk on why Ruby must go.
Okay.
Later on in this year. So okay, that should be interesting there itself. And we need to keep evolving.
Mm-hmm.
We were riding a wave of Rails.
Okay.
I don't know how far Rails will be there.
Okay.
Ruby will always be there. Rails may come, Rails may evolve, Rails may go. But Ruby will always stay. Similarly, Go is another language that we want to bet on. And we just consider it as a second child.
Cool. So how do you compare Ruby with Go? Like, whenever we write Ruby programs, we say that it is beautiful language. We have fun writing Ruby. How do you compare writing Go with a Ruby mindset, or like what I have to do
thing
to come out of Ruby mindset for writing better Ruby?
In fact, this is not my words. The first thing, if you look at the Effective Go book, says that get out of the mindset of working in any language like Java, C++, Python or Ruby and then come to Go. Which makes a difference, because if you keep an open mind, you actually start to enjoy the language.
Okay.
If you keep a closed mind, try to compare it with, oh, this is something that can be done in Java or Python or Ruby. Oh, how is it done in Go? And Why is this done in Go? Why is it not done in other languages? If you keep this mindset, then you will start focusing on all the trivial facts rather than actually focusing on the language.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go with an open mind, you start to enjoy the language after some time, such that it's a lot of fun. The kind of fun that we had when we started learning Ruby and wrote 3 lines of code and said, wow, I've written 1 line of code, is the same kind of enthusiasm, you know, fun that you can get when you're writing Go. And that's what keeps me thinking that Go is actually a pretty interesting language, even from the language perspective, the constructs, the way it's been built, the way it can go, the way it handles and what it wants to do.
Okay.
And don't go with the mindset. Keep a blank mind and let Go reprogram you.
That's a good advice. And it just does not apply to only learning Go, but learning anything. So tell us more about the first year GopherCon that is happening next year.
Right. So Satish Talim would be the ideal person to talk about GopherCon. But we are already getting a lot of interest from a lot of companies.
Yes.
Including companies like Couchbase.
Right.
Quinix. And BookmyShop. So these are companies which are already working in Go, which are going to participate in Go. There are platinum sponsors. We are already talking to Google. Google would already be on the cards. Hopefully, we should be able to close that deal. And Satish is getting pretty good at these things. There are a lot of other companies which are supporting the conference in their own way. It is going to probably be the second largest conference after GopherCon in Denver. And GopherCon in India is going to make a difference to the way the landscape of technology is happening in India right now. The popularity that it's going to get because of the conference being there, there are going to be a lot of people promoting it. It is 2 days in Bangalore.
Right.
And we've realized that there is so much of traction we are getting without doing much right now. We are not even running around for sponsors. We are not running around for getting a venue. But there are so many people coming in to support this conference that it's actually going to be... It'll take the industry by storm.
Okay.
Having this conference in India is going to place India itself in a different league.
Yes.
So having a country which is supporting a GopherCon and having hopefully at least about 400 odd people coming in there is going to change the mindset of the rest of the world looking to India as not just a back office of traditional languages but also emerging new technologies.
Correct.
Which is going to be awesome.
Right. So GopherCon is one of the things to look forward for in next year. I think it is in February, right?
February 19th and 20th.
Cool. Okay, so we have discussed about Go also. Let's discuss about any other exciting projects or any other events that you are looking forward for in next few months, years, or any other exciting project that you are working right now.
So I cannot talk about in-depth details of the projects that we're working on. Apart from the fact that we're working on an entirely different kind of disruptive products. Of late, what we've picked up is a couple of products which are looking into a disruptive space in the financial sector.
Okay.
Disruptive space in the HR sector. We're looking at a product which is actually getting into the travel tourism sector too.
Okay.
So there are teams which are working on this.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking at the entire product stack. So we own the technology stack around this.
Okay.
And it's going to be pretty interesting to see where this comes out to. Among the open source projects, we have already been supporting Filter.js and Streamtable, which we released, I think, last year. Recently, there is a new library which is called JSON Query, which we are releasing, which is like a JavaScript framework for doing origin-like queries. So, you know, all the active record, where clauses and different types of clauses and comments
like
and
chaining and everything.
Chaining, all this kind of stuff, but happening in JavaScript.
Okay.
With JSON database. So if you have all JSON data there, I can query that particular JSON data in any format, like
so
a database query.
Client-side framework at all.
You don't need a client side. You need client queries.
Okay.
So just like you have JSON data. So if I have a hash of hashes or a hash of hashes of arrays in it,
right?
How do I query within it? How
okay.
do I keep various types of indexing around it,
mm-hmm.
and maintain all this on the client side itself?
Cool.
Use HTML5 local storage, work on it, just change the way the game is played.
Right. And as you're heavily investing in Go, Have you started playing with Go? Any other Go projects that are to look forward for?
So we've been experimenting Go to the level that we need to be comfortable learning Go first before playing on with Go projects. But we've looked at BGo, Revel, all the web frameworks. After which I realized, you know what? I don't think I would want to use Go for a web application. But I would love to use Go to tap its Go routines concurrency, its interface pattern, its heavyweight lifting in the background jobs that we can do. For example, if I had to use Go workers in Sidekick today, it cannot really tap into my Rails models. But it would be pretty cool if we can work out some sort of bridge where I have all the heavy lifting of Sidekick or rescue workers doing a lot of work in the background, working in Go, using the concurrency, using the multi-core functionality, and using the power of Go to power a lot of Rails applications.
Right.
And that would be pretty different. It would be pretty interesting. Another idea I had got earlier was, while discussing it in one of these conferences, was, and it's completely off the charts, why not build a Ruby interpreter in Go?
Cool.
I don't know about it.
Somebody asked that question to Koichi also when he was here for Deccan RubyCon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
He said that, yeah, that is a great idea.
So, you never know where things go.
Cool. So, that's about it. All the questions are finished. Thanks, Gautam, for your time.
Right.
And we look forward to all the support that you are providing for Ruby community, Go community, all the events.
I like what you guys are doing with the podcast. Hope it's a grand success. Thank you for having me on it.
Cool. Thanks.